turn to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." That's a very important passage of Scripture right there. That is something that should show us and give us an idea of what our life ought to be about. Verse 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Now, I'm not going to go on all of that, because we have the command to love one another, and that is an extremely important thing. But this passage of Scripture that we read this morning has a lot to teach us in understanding what Christian behavior should be about. And a lot of people stumble at this. They say, well, how can somebody, you know, how does this line up with the fact that we're sinners by nature and we still have the old nature that we battle against? And notice what it talks about when it talks about this thing, when he says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him." People stumble at that because they don't understand the dynamic and understand what righteousness is on our relationship. Our relationship with God right now is not one of total sinless perfection. It is not. You know, we're studying the book of Job, and we're seeing Job, who's considered one of the most righteous men ever. If you go in the Bible and you find out what the Bible talks about Job, Job was an extremely righteous and godly man. And yet, at the end of all of that he endured, God rebuked him for his pride. And so Job was, and we'll see today when we do our study this afternoon on the book of Job, we'll see that Job was aware that he was not sinless in the thing. He was not guilty of what he was being accused of, but he understood that he himself was a sinner, and he needed God's mercy and God's grace. He understood that. So when it talks about us being without sin, in verse 9 it says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So we see something there. People stumble at that and say, well, how can I be sinlessly perfect and yet still be a sinner by nature and still have to struggle with the old man and everything like that, with that fallen nature? And that's because they don't understand redemption. There are many people who stumble at that and say, well, I can never be sinlessly perfect. I've already proven I can't be. I might as well just give up and quit. But then on the flip side of that, you have people that sit there and profess salvation, and they are, but their life is, you know, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. So you see both sides of that coin. Now, you and I can't see anybody else's heart. All we can see is their works, right? And the reality is that when it comes to the world at large, there's no way we could know anybody's heart. Now, only God tries the hearts. But this gives us an understanding of what it means to live godly and live righteously. You know, it says, first of all, it tells us to behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us in verse 1, that we should be called the sons of God. And it says, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. The world, if you're expecting the world to understand you, you're wasting your time. And it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We have that looking forward to that one day of having that sinless perfection, right? And so now when we look at this, but the third verse is the key, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now therein is the key to understanding the remainder of that, because this goes into the heart attitude of an individual. Somebody that has that hope in them, they also have a desire to purify themselves. Notice what he says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. Now, positionally, our righteousness is of Christ. But on a practical side, we have to deal with the fact that we do fight the old nature. But notice what it says. Every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What does that mean? How do I purify myself? Well, the Word of God. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, right? In John chapter 17. So the Word of God. So obviously a desire for the Word of God, wanting the Word of God in our hearts, studying the Word of God, allowing it to, hiding it in our hearts. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, as it says in Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Those things, that we would do with the Word of God, so that a desire for the Word of God would be an indication of righteousness, an indication of somebody wanting to purify themselves. We have a generation of Christians that don't read the Bible, of professing Christians that just don't read the Bible, that are biblically ignorant. Something's wrong there. And not only that, we get into this passage about this, and we talk about the practicality of our righteousness, and how do we deal with sin. And the simple fact is, the only way for me to be righteous is for me to be willing to, like the old time preachers used to say, I keep short accounts with God. I don't let sin fester. I don't become comfortable in it. I confess it. I want to get out of it. I want to be justified before God. I want to be pure before God. I have that desire. So, and one of the biggest problems we have today is nowadays you have to beat people over the head just to get them to come and confess to God. And if we were honest about it, it shouldn't take a whole bunch of preaching, biblical preaching or studying the Bible, to correct us. It should just take a little bit. When the Spirit of God speaks to the heart of a believer, we ought to be humble enough to say, we ought to first have the desire to be pure. We ought to be focused on purifying ourselves, and we ought to be the ones that sent there, and when God speaks to your heart, we're going to deal with it now. I don't want anything between me and my God. And the problem is, and we can see the worldliness in churches today, because we don't have a lot of preaching or repentance today. We don't have a lot of preaching on holiness. We don't have a lot of preaching on people changing. Most of the preaching today is, you know, God accepts you as you are. That's a true statement. Problem is, it's an incomplete statement. It's an incomplete statement. God accepts us as we are. And we sing the songs, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. God accepts us as we are, but he does not intend nor desire that we stay that way. We're coming to be redeemed. We're coming to be changed. We're coming. And so we have a generation of professing Christians now that don't believe in holiness anymore, that don't believe that allow things to fester in their life. And if you want to check up on yourself, whether you're walking uprightly, you're going to be the one that says, hey, I have this hope one day I want to be clean, but I'm not going to wait till there. I'm not just going to sit on my laurels. I want to be close to God now. I want to get as close to God now as I can. You know, make no mistake about it, God is always close to us, but our hearts are not always close to Him. Matter of fact, God dealt with Israel and he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, didn't he? It's not just the lips, it's the heart. And if we are going to be the ones that are going to walk the way, we ought to want to be pure. And I understand it can be a struggle. We get to, and by the way, do you know how the devil comes in with condemnation? You ever felt the condemnation of the devil? You ever had this feeling that, you know, you've blown it and there's nothing you can do for God anymore, that type of attitude? You ever felt that way? That's not from the Holy Spirit of God. If you're a lost person, the Spirit of God is convincing you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Hey, if you don't get saved, this is what's coming. God loves you. God is righteous. He's paid the penalty for your sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He offers salvation as a gift, and you need to repent and believe the gospel. Otherwise, you're going to suffer the wrath of God for your sins. But if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit, He does not comfort you in your sin, but He draws us to repentance. He draws us back. God is never telling, you go through the Bible, God never says, you know, tells His people that there's no way back. And so if we're the people, we're going to be the one that is talking about the heart attitude here. Positionally, we're not in sin because He's paid the penalty for our sins, right? Positionally, our righteousness is in Him, and that's why we can go to heaven. That's why we can pray to God and get an answer. It's because of the blood of Jesus. That's why we can come to God. But somebody, I'm talking about the heart attitude here. When we get to the point to where we're not dealing with our own heart and looking at ourselves and saying, hey, this needs to change in me. This is wrong. God says this is right and I'm doing this and I need to be doing that. When we get to that point to where we're not doing that anymore, we're not doing righteousness. It is a righteous thing for a sinner to turn back to God. That's the first step in all righteousness, isn't it? And if we have that hope, we ought to be purifying ourselves even as He is pure. We desire that purity. We desire that fellowship. We desire that relationship. And that's not a relationship where we look up and lift up our nose and look down on everybody else, talk about how pitiful they are. No, the person that is righteous, he's going to be looking at his own heart, his own relationship with God. He wants to purify himself. And, you know, if God dealt with every man after their sins, there'd be no people. There'd be nobody because judgment would already fallen. Judgment's coming, but the point being is, we understand these things, don't we? We say we do. We understand that there's judgment coming, but we understand the mercy and the grace of God, and we understand the purity. And I'm just simply saying, we got to get to the point where we just want to be right with God. That's the most important thing. The most important thing is not who's going to be the next president. That's a temporary thing. But when we start talking about righteousness and unrighteousness and we start talking about reward or punishment or whatever, and we start talking about eternal things, that's not temporary, that's forever. And I'm just simply saying to you, we need to look at our hearts and we need to understand that, hey, we're the ones that we say we have this hope. That one day we're going to not just be with Jesus, we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to have a new body, fashioned like unto His glorious body. We're going to be without sin, without sorrow, without sickness, without pain, without any of those things that we fear today. We're going to be able to stand before God and actually see Him face to face, which is impossible for us to do now. When Moses begged in Exodus 33, when Moses begged God to see His glory, God said, you can't see my face. No man can see my face and live. In the book of John it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. No wonder Jesus said to Philip, have I been so long with you, Philip, that thou hast not known me? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. We look at Jesus to see the Father. But one day we'll be able to see Him in His glory, won't we? Amen. And that's the work of Jesus on the cross. But righteous people don't sit there and just wait on live any old way and decide that my sin doesn't matter, one day it'll all be gone. We want to correct that now. That's how we look at our hearts. That's what revival is. I'm not going to listen to the world or the devil or anybody else about what's righteous. I'm going to listen to what God about what's righteous. And I want to be pure. Well, you know, that's going to kind of put you sideways with the world, isn't it? Isn't that the problem with a lot of our professing Christian politicians? They're too busy trying to please the world and please their base instead of trying to please God. But somebody's got to be the one to believe. Somebody's got to be the one to want to be righteous. Somebody's got to be that person. And it's only the people that are true believers that are the ones that want to be pure. And I'm not saying that precludes us from backsliding, because backsliding's in the Bible too, isn't it? It's possible for a Christian to backslide. But what I'm saying to you, when our heart is right, we want to be pure. We desire purity. We desire to change. And it's not just what other folks can see. It's what's in your own house, in your own heart. It's easy to get dressed up on Sunday and come and appear righteous. People have been doing that for thousands of years, haven't they? It's a whole lot different thing to be right with God, isn't it? So I just want to challenge you. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. That ought to be the goal right there. That ought to be the heart attitude we desire above all things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close and take a break before the morning preaching. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we want to pray again for President Trump. We pray for his recovery, and we pray for the families of those the man that was killed, and we just pray you'd comfort them. And Lord, I just pray that man was saved, and just pray for the salvation of his family, and Lord, for these that are injured, we pray for their healing, and Lord, for their salvation as well. And Lord, it's a wicked thing that's going on in our world, and we just ask for your mercy, and we just ask, Lord, that you'd help us to walk a right path in all of this, not get caught up in all the worldliness, whether it's liberal worldliness or conservative worldliness, doesn't make any difference. Lord, just help us to just be biblical and just desire above all that which is good and righteous and holy. Lord, help us to desire to be pure the way we ought to. Help us to, if we become conscious of sin in our lives or in our hearts, that we would humble ourselves and confess that sin. And Lord, and we're just so thankful that you've promised that if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to desire to be pure the way we should be. Bless the preaching of your word today. Lord, we just thank you for each one that's here. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.